global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them. Crises precipitate change.
This is super computer nerd shit right here.
Secretly plotting your demise. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis.
What's up, what's up, OG5? Welcome to another night of the What's in Your Head podcast. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining us for this week. What's going on, Morgan? What's going on there, Michael?
What up, fella?
What's up? Chicken's ass when it eats. That's one of them jokes you got to visualize in your mind.
Not much going on.
How did Oregon not get hit with a trade infringement on that logo? Did they buy licensing rights off of Disney in 1938?
It's been around for a real long time.
That'd be a good homework assignment for you next week. We want to know how it is Oregon State hasn't got slapped, especially nowadays. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I put this clip up on YouTube, we get hit with a copyright infringement for just having that behind you, because you never know.
Yeah, for real.
Mike, you're up on the music, you're up on the hits, the beats, down with what the kids are listening to.
I mean, a little bit.
Okay, I want to play a song for you. I'm just going to remind you of another song. I want to see if you can tell me what song the opening of this song reminds you of. First, do you know who that is?
I can barely hear it.
Okay, I can turn it up. We can turn it up. I just didn't know it would be too loud here. Ready? Can you hear that?
Not really. No. Turn it up a
little bit. Okay, well, this ain't going to play well because you guys are on Zoom, and Zoom does not help the music. But for those of you listening at home...
That sounds like... I hear the voice, and it sounds like... I don't know why, but it sounds like... Tyler
Childers, you're close. Yes. This is Zach Bryan. This song's called Birmingham. It was out 3 years ago. It sucks you guys can't hear it, but the people at home, they're like, that sounds like Shaboozy.
Yeah, the one, here comes the two to the three to the four song. The intro to that sounds exactly the same.
It's the same chord progression.
Yes.
Because I was actually listening to Zach Bryan. I've been listening to that song for years. I just heard the Shaboozy about a month ago. And anyhow, the Zach Bryan song came in when I was loading up a kayak, and I started singing the opening to the Shaboozy song.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And there's nothing that can be done about that. I mean,
no, because there's only so many chords, there's only so many notes, and there's so many progressions.
Yeah, I mean, there's been numerous comedy sketches of people that have, you know, proven that, you know, every pop song for the past 30 years can be played and done in the same four chords.
There's another one that reminded me of the bass line, and the only people who would know this is True Jugglers going way back. Let me find it real quick.
Is it the twisted bass line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before.
Have we? Yeah, the astronaut in the ocean, the dong, yes. Boom, boom. Yeah, so those are the two that I hear quite often that sound the same. I just thought was interesting.
Theirs was a Green Book song, wasn't it?
No, it was actually off Most Tasteless. Bury Me Alive.
1997.
Yeah, Bury Me Alive, the year I graduated high school.
Yep.
Music Video Award thing. VH1. Right before cover Nickelodeon. From the
average, every day we start static. Dun, live with dun, the maggots. Dun, masters dun, of the black magic. Dun, 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 killers dun. With it. And then on that masked fella, let me mute this commercial real quick. So, yeah, the bass line of Twist was from 1997's Dong, Dong, Dong.
And then you're curious, I have the information on the Oregon Donald Duck situation. Unless Morgan would like to specify on that, since that's his...
I don't think he wants homework assignment. Yeah. Let us know.
Do what?
Lay it on me.
Hold on.
Yep.
Yeah,
same bass line.
Yeah, I know we did a little bit about music a few episodes back, so I just figured I'd toss that in there.
So this is just based off of the Wikipedia page, and they actually dive into it a little bit here.
Duck dive, would you say?
In this in this subtitle, it is early mascots. Oregon teams were originally known as Webfoots, possibly as early as the 1890s. The Webfoots name originally applied to a group of fishermen from the coast of Massachusetts who had been heroes during the American Revolutionary War. When their descendants settled in Oregon's, Willamette Valley in the 19th century, the name stayed with them. A naming contest in 1926, won by, I can't even say it, Oregonian sports editor L.H. Gregory made the Webfoot's name official, and subsequent student vote in 1932 affirmed the nickname. Chosen over the suggested nicknames such as Pioneers, Trappers, Lumberjacks, Wolves, and Yellow Jackets. Ducks with their webbed feet began to be associated with the team in the 1920s, and a live white duck named Puddles began to appear at sports events. Journalists, especially headline writers, also adopted the shorter duck nickname.
Yeah, it's a lot less typing.
Huh?
It's a lot less typing.
Right. In 1978, a student cartoonist came up with a new duck image called Mallard Drake. But students chose Donald as the official mascot by a 2-1 margin. Subtitle, Relationship with Disney. Beginning in 1940, cartoon drawings of Puddles in student publications began to resemble Donald Duck by 1947, Walt Disney was aware of the issue. Capitalizing on his friendship with Disney cartoonist Mike Royer, Oregon athletic director Leo Harris met Disney and reached an informal handshake agreement that granted the University of Oregon permission to use Donald as its sport mascot, naming him Donald Duck. Further reading into it, when Disney lawyers later questioned the agreement in the 1970s, the university produced a photo showing Harris and Disney wearing matching jackets with an Oregon Donald logo. Relying on the photo as evidence of Disney's wishes. In 1973, both parties signed a formal agreement granting the university the right to use Donald's likeness as a symbol for and restricted to Oregon sports. The agreement gave Disney control over where the mascot could perform and ensured that the performer inside the costume would properly resent the Donald Duck character.
What did we learn from this? Okay, let's back up a little bit. What year did they start doing the duck? In the 40s?
Beginning in 1940.
1940s, okay.
The drawings, yes.
What year did Disney question the legality of the handshake?
1973.
Anybody want to guess when Walt Disney died? 1966. So what does this teach us?
Really,
this teach us that Disney was not the dick. It was the people who took over Disney Inc. when he died in 1966. That's when all the lawsuits and the glad handing and all the horrible, evil corporate shit took over. So here's Disney in his prime, in his day. Handshake and buy me a beer. You're good to go. He dies short 10 years later. Hey. There's somebody out there we're not getting our beak wet off the Donald Duck that a few people in Oregon are wearing.
Reading further, in 2010, Disney and the university reached an agreement that removed the costumed Oregon Duck mascot from its association with the Donald trademark and allowed the duck to make more public appearances, such as at college mascot competitions. The mascot in graphic art, which is more similar to Donald Duck than the rounder head and body of the costume, is still covered by the trademark agreement.
So as an Oregonian yourself, Morgan, what name do you all still refer to him as Puddles, or is he Donald?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's That's what I've always known him as.
Puddles.
And I've been
as Puddles.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you were to survey most Oregonians, that's how they'd refer to him.
So, like, if you grew up in a die-hard, dye in green and yellow, which is the worst color combination, that was a color combination of my elementary school and middle school, Hamilton Township. I hated green and gold. It's the worst color combination, especially, like, in a varsity jacket. Just bleh. Anywho, if you grew up in a green and yellow, die-hard Oregonian family, and as a child, as a youth, you were taught that this is Puddles the Duck. How fucking confused were you when you went to kindergarten for the first time and the Disney Channel came on and all of a sudden Puddles, everybody's referring to this Donald fella? Like, what the actual hell?
What the fuck? Yeah, fella?
I couldn't tell you because I grew up in a household that where all of my aunts and uncles went to the went to Oregon State University, which is the Beavers. So, So when I became a Ducks fan, that wasn't received real well.
Were the female athletic individuals referred to as the Lady Beavers?
Entirely possible. I don't know.
That'd be classy right there. Introducing the Oregon State Lady Beavers.
Mahooga.
Actually, hang on. I got to look that up because I think that's actually how they were referred to.
Oh, no.
Kind of redundant. But nowadays, you could be a boy Lady Beaver. No one could say a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or man beaver.
Well, I don't know. I typed in Lady Beavers, and all the Oregon State women's sports came up. So
there you go. If Google said it, it's correct.
Yeah. I saw it on the internet. It's got to be true.
That's right.
You know, we started this.
That's all you need to know. That's all the research that you need to do.
We started this episode out talking about songs and songs that sound alike. So while we're kind of still on the music and intellectual properties, I guess, for that matter, Mike, let me ask you first, where do you feel on the new Linkin Park lead singer debacle?
And this kind of ties into an episode that we previously discussed, like favorite bands and stuff like that. I grew up as Linkin Park being my favorite band. I remember when their album came out as the first CD I was ever.
1996?
2000.
No, it was before that.
No, their first album came out in 2000.
I could have sworn I was listening to Linkin Park when I was a senior in high school. Really?
Yep.
No,
Hybrid Theory came out in 2000.
That's crazy.
Meteora came out in 2002 or 2003.
Oh, that's nuts. I could have sworn. I guess you're right. Yeah.
Jay-Z, Linkin Park came out in 2004. Minutes to Midnight, 2007. I can kind of go on and on.
That's crazy. I could have sworn. Yeah, 2000. That's insane.
But I do remember that was the first album that I ever bought or I was ever bought for me.
Okay, we'll get back to Linkin Park here real quick, but I think maybe we've talked about this in the past, but what was the first album that you ever bought with your own money without parental supervision?
Ooh. I see, that's hard too, because I grew up in the beginning of the internet era.
Okay, what's the first song you illegally downloaded?
probably a lot of ICP stuff.
Morgan, he answered one on his own and then asked me the other one, so I'll ask you the same two questions. What was the first album you ever got as a gift? And then what was the first album you bought with your own money without any parental input?
Well, the first album that I got, well, I guess it wasn't really a gift. When I was six, my dad and I decided that we were going to do like a walkathon. And since I was the only kid my age that finished it, I got a record a week for a year from the local radio station.
Nice. Right. So, you didn't have to send the penny to Columbia House.
No. So actually, the first one I got was Barry Manilow. It was like a picture, picture album. Make
the whole world sing.
Well, yeah, actually, that's what it was. So I got that when I was like 6 or 7.
That's cool. Now let me ask you this: did they stamp the albums back then? Because I have a few CDs that I got before I worked in radio, but along the way, like back in the day, I got a buddy of mine was on the somehow when I was in my band, our tech or friend of the band, his brother somehow got on the street team, which was a thing back in the day. You can get loaded on the street team for publishing houses, and they would send you stickers and CDs to hand out on the street. And so I actually got a street team copy of Dr. Dre's 2001 that has the stamp on the inside. And then I have another CD that came through a radio station, and it has the record company stamp of saying not for resale. Oh, my Kid Rock Devil Without a Cause was also not for resale. It was a street team CD as well.
Yeah, I think they were all stamped promotional use only.
Now, would still maybe have some semi-collective value depending on the diehard fan of Barry Manilow. Okay, so
that was the first one I got, the first one that I actually bought with my own money. I think it was probably Huey Lewis and the News, their first album. And I don't know, I couldn't tell you the first song that I downloaded.
Well, I'm not worried. I mean, downloading only applies to his generation. We're
Downloading really only applies to, I mean, I remember, you know, cassettes and you know, I was like CDs were obviously the big thing even when I was like born. I think CDs were, you know.
Morgan's older than me, so that means he bought shit on 8-track, then had to buy the same shit on tape, and then buy the same shit on CD, right, and then buy the same shit on MP3. I was born past 8-tracks already gone, except for like some of my mom's old piece of shit cars. But contemporarily, it was tapes that I bought. So the first tape I ever got was a Easter present from my stepmother. I think it was in 4th, 5th grade. It was Master of Puppets by Metallica.
Nice.
Right on.
And then the first album I bought is when we lived at Rickenbacker Air Force Base. My brother was in Civil Air Patrol, so we had access to the base because he had a pass, because the Civil Air Patrol actually worked out of Rickenbacker Air Force Base by real Air Force people. And so I used to get my hair cut at the barber on base with the Playboy sitting on the table.
Nice.
We used to stop our bikes and play in old Sherman tanks and shit. The first album I bought, another tape, Iron Maiden's Only the Good Die Young. So here I am when my contemporaries are listening to Skid Row and New Kids on the Block and MC Hammer and Tiffany and Paula Abdul and Rock Me Amadeus. I'm at home listening to Iron Maiden, Metallica, Nuclear Assault, Testament, DRI, Dead Milkmen, all the 80s. Early 90s underground skate music. That's what I was listening to because I was influenced by my older brothers. But my very first album that I bought with my own hands, my own money, was Iron Maiden's Only the Good Die Young.
What was the first concert that you bought tickets for?
First concert I went to, my brother took me. It was at Newport Music Hall in downtown Columbus. It was Evil Mothers opened up for Pigface. And I know people are like, who the fuck is Pigface? Pigface was an industrial supergroup. And this was before Downward Spiral came out. Okay, Nine Inch Nails was still underground, unless you listen to Broken and Pretty Hate Machine. So before Downward Spiral came out, before I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal hit the radio, and everybody's, oh, Nine Inch Nails, Pigface was a supergroup. So the year I saw them, the lead singer was Ogre from Skinny Puppy. They had the bass player from My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult. First time I'd seen two drummers playing consecutively, and both of them have double bass pedals.
Simultaneously,
yep. I can't remember who the guitar player was on that one. the year before had Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails in it, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So every year or every album, they would have a different lineup. But that particular year, it was Ogre from Skinny Puppy, the bass player from My Life, the Thrill Kill Cult, the two drummers. And then I think my second concert I went to is at the same place, which would have been Clutch when their self-titled album came out. And then I think the first tickets I bought, it's hard for me to remember because when I lived in Columbus, we had a lot of venues at the time. You can get 16 was the minimum for a lot of these shows. And so I saw a lot of concerts. I saw Limp Bizkit open up for Korn at a venue the size of the Buddha.
Nice.
I saw them play at Al Rosa Villa. No one knew who the hell they were. We knew who Korn was because that's when their self-titled album started to come out before they blew up. And if anybody's listening, say, well, that venue sounds familiar. Al Rosa Villa is the venue that Dimebag Darrell got shot on stage at. That's the venue I grew up playing my band. And that's, to me, the saddest part, other than the horrible tragedy that is Dimebag getting murdered. The reason this guy was able to murder him is, A, the place is as small as the Buddha, which for those of you not in Southwest Florida, just think of any local dive bar where any up-and-coming band would play. That's what Al Rosa Villa was. It was for has-beens and has-nots. So, like, that was your first venue as a high school band, and then, like, that was the band, the venue that the up-and-coming bands who couldn't sell enough ticket to fill a Newport Music Hall or, heaven forbid, the Polaris Amphitheater. It was, like, stepping stone. And so, yeah, I saw Limp Bizkit open up for Korn at a place, essentially a dive bar. Later on, I would see them play again at Newport Music Hall. But yeah, I think the first ticket I bought was probably, not counting local bands, because once again, you know, I was real big in the local band scene. You can go see a concert 3 days a week. But I think the first Ticketmaster, but you had to buy your local band tickets through Ticketmaster anyhow. But yeah, I'd say the first quote unquote big band that I saw would be, I've seen Propane there. I've seen so many bands there, but I think the biggest name, I saw Twisted play there, I saw ICP at Newport. I was on the stage for Great Malenko. I got up there and on one of the songs of stage diving next to Shaggy, but, saw Twisted at Al Rosa as well. I've seen so many damn bands, but yeah, I think Korn and Limp Bizkit at a dive bar. I think the tickets were $15, like 1998. And as you can imagine, Mike, that crowd was nothing but Adidas. Everybody was head to toe with fucking shell toes.
Doesn't surprise me.
Adidas warm-ups, Adidas t-shirts, and dreadlocks. Only thing that would have made that like the perfect new core, new metal show would have been if Deftones was on the bill, or even Cold Chamber. Cause that's who we're, you know, that was the CD collection. Then you're listening to Cold Chamber, Deftones, Limp Bizkit, and Korn.
My concert going was a little bit later in life, but my parents used to take me to see they had it, you know, I didn't really have a choice. Like I was there in a stroller, you know, and they'd be carrying me around. But I have vague memories of going to concerts when I was real young and like hearing loud music and stuff like that, walking around and, you know, between like Tape Bike Night and other stuff like that. But when I asked my dad about it later, he was like, oh yeah, I took you and your mother and I took you to, a few concerts when you were younger, not like huge, huge bands, but, it was a couple of bands. I don't remember who they were that they said that I was there. And I think it might've been a radio event or something like that when I was real little. But after that, I did see, there's a couple of Christian groups that I did go see, Christian rock bands like Casting Crowns. I saw them.
I saw Bride in concert.
I've seen them. That was a good show.
Yeah, really good show. I've actually got, I bought a drumstick. It's not a real drumstick. It's a faux, but has all their signatures and stuff on it. I still have that. It's hanging on my door right
there.
I went and saw Toby Mac he's like,
he puts on a fantastic hell show. Of a show. I've seen him twice.
Hell of a show. Oh, he brings out like trampolines and shit, and he's got like aerobatics and like that at that show that I went and saw, which was in like Knoxville, Tennessee or something like that at the time. Like, he was bringing out all kinds of crazy stuff. I saw another Christian band called Fee, which was fronted by this guy named Steve Fee. They were the I went to this Christian camp one year called Big Stuff, and they do it in like Daytona and I think PCB every year. They kind of alternate sometimes, but it was this Christian camp thing that you know, was going on during the summer. And I went one year. I was already down here visiting my mother, and everybody else had to have a long ass drive down here on the bus. And my mother took me over to Daytona. So when I waited for everybody to get down here on the bus, but the theme of that particular year was broadcast, like broadcast yourself, be a light for God, and all that kind of stuff. And that was like when we were going to church on a regular basis during my youth. And the theme song for that was a song by a band called Fee. So they were there, they played, and it was cool. After that, let's see, getting out of like Christian based stuff, I think, and funny enough, doing a 180, I've been to two Twisted concerts in Atlanta, Georgia.
I saw the Masquerade. I saw Twisted open for ICP back when they were still House of Crazies.
Yeah.
In Cleveland.
That would have been Jamie, Paul, and Blaze, right?
Yeah, and then they also had another group that opened up for them. I can't remember who it was. I think Blaze was in it too. But yeah, so that was at the Flats in Cleveland. That was for... That was pre... Malenko. I think that was a Riddle Box tour.
Really?
Yeah.
But I've never been to like a major concert.
You never went to Fort Rock or any of those when we had them down here?
I never had the opportunity. And if I did think about it, you know, spending $200 on a ticket plus, you know, Fort Rock. I mean, Fort Rock was in Fort Myers, but by the time I got down here, having a kid and, you know, family life and all that stuff, it was like I didn't have time to go to a Fort Rock.
That was one of the where I kind of got lucky in my time at working at K-Rock as far as the timeline goes. I was there all the Fort Rocks. Not only was I there, I did stage announcements, Rock Wave. I missed the 99X days and the K-Rock birthday bash days. I was there for the Fort Rocks, the Rock Waves. I actually got concert posters. I'm going to make up. I got one in my office from one of the Fort Rocks, and I'm going to do the other one. And then the Bret Michaels poster I have, and I have my VIP backstage passes for each one of those shows. So I'm making like picture frames up for those.
I did go. I take that back. I did go to one major concert for like a big named artist.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom put in for a sweepstakes for the local one of the local grocery stores up in North Carolina. It was just called Fred's. Nope, just called Fred's. And it's like Piggly Wiggly and Dollar General had a baby.
Okay.
And that's it. So it's Fred's. Actually, my ex-wife used to work there. But my mom, she used to shop there a lot. It was, you know, kind of bargain place. Not quite Dollar General or Dollar Store, but not quite, you know, like, you know, they're certainly not like Publix and not Walmart either. So, but she put in for this sweepstakes, and basically Live Nation was putting on this thing through Fred's that if you win the big grand prize, you and three other guests get to pick any concert in the lower 48 in America. They will fly you out there for the concert, put you up, and give you a $500 you know, Visa card to spend on whatever you want. So she won, which was, you know, we never win anything, so So we chose, and you know, as much as I wanted to go see like Linkin Park or, you know, like a rock band or something like that, my parents are 30 years older than me. So we all chose, because we can all agree to listen to country, we chose to go see Florida Georgia Line, Jason Aldean, and at the time, before he was real big, Tyler Farr. And seeing Florida Georgia Line, and in particular seeing Jason Aldean and his stage presence and like the way that he did his show, it was fucking awesome. We flew from Atlanta to Dallas, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. It was like, with the time change, it was like a 4.5 hour flight. And then we got there dead tired, because we left it like, I think we left our house or left the airport on the plane at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And we were already up all night the night before packing and saying, fuck it, we'll just stay up all night long.
You ever heard the saying, people don't appreciate shit they get for free?
I've heard more like, you know, people don't appreciate things that are like handed to them.
Same thing. Perfect example. You guys got a, you guys want a trip out of state, so it would make sense that the flight was included.
Yeah.
This is just one of many examples. I remember K-Rock did a concert giveaway. It was like the concert was like in Orlando or Miami, maybe. Yeah, it was like within a 3 hour drive, give or take, right?
Sure.
And this was a entry. This wasn't a, you know, call Stan Haney and, you know, tell us, you know, something funny and we'll give you a prize. This was one of the K-Rock sweepstakes. So this guy entered, he won. He got the two concert tickets. He got a stay at a hotel, a nice hotel, free dinner for him and his wife. You know, so they're covering the hotel, the concert tickets, your dinner before you go to the concert. And he kept calling, trying to get Dumb Chris and the Beasleys to finance, to pay for his gas to make the 2 hour drive. That if they didn't give him gas money, they were reneging on their contest, and that he couldn't afford to make that drive. He didn't have the gas. It's like, we're giving you, and K-Rock doesn't give out hotel rooms like Holiday Inn. They put you up in some nice fucking places. So all in all, this prize pack giveaway was probably valued at probably $1,000 or more, you know, good seats at a concert. That's, you know, $150 a piece, give or take, you know, probably give you like $200 voucher to probably some nice restaurant. Hotel room is probably would cost you $200, $1.50 a piece a person a night. And this guy like called and raised hell for like almost 3 weeks trying to get a gas card.
It's like, they do it? Incredible. I doubt it.
No. It's like, first and foremost, like if you're that fucking broke, how much fun can you actually have making that trip, right?
Yeah.
If you can't afford $50 to drive to Orlando, you sure as shit ain't going to be able to afford $14 a beer at the concert. And so, like, you and your wife are going to go, you're going to stop and get your free meal, go directly back to the hotel and watch TV and drink water from the gas station.
Right.
I'm sorry. Eat your meal, go to the concert and not afford any beer or beverages. So sit there at the concert and yell and get dry mouth. Then go back to your hotel room, watch some movies, and then get up in the morning and go straight home. You're not going to make a weekend of it. Because if you can't afford the gas, you sure as shit ain't going to be able to afford to do anything else while you're there.
Right.
And it's not like they were just trying to pad their wallet, because this wasn't like, oh, I'll blow a phone call and see what I can make happen. No, he like kept calling. Like, it became an issue where like there was talk in the hall. Like, this fucking guy's calling back again. So yeah, it was insane. I remember we were doing a Stan and Haney night at the Seminole Casino in Immokalee, and we did a raffle, and one of the giveaways was a weekend ticket to Fort Rock for the dual shows. But the other prize is like a high-end like appliance. Like, it was like when air fryers first came out, or like high-end. It was something high-end coffee maker, whatever. And the lady who won the raffle was like 63. So she came up to get her fucking two tickets for fucking Saturday and Sunday at Fort Rock. And I can't remember who the program director was at the time, but he was trying to say, hey, first and foremost, she wasn't even a Stan Haney listener. She just happened to be in the casino and fucking signed up for the raffle, whatever. And like, hey, you know, the ticket's yours, rightfully so, but, you know, we think someone here would get more enjoyment out of them because it's their type of music. We'd happily give you this nice high-end appliance. No, she just died on a hill. I'll give them to my grandkids. Okay, but yeah, we're like kind of bummed. Like, you have all these radio listeners there, and just some random 60-year-old from the fucking walk away from the slot machine for 2 seconds, enter this raffle, and then won the damn concert tickets. It was like, oh. Fred's Inc., stylized in caps, Fred's, was a retail store chain headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee, operating in 15 states in Southeast United States. As of June 2019, Fred operated 396 locations, of which 155 were pharmacies, and the remainder discount general merchandise stores. In 2019, Fred announced 129 pending stores would close, following which it would have 80 retail stores and 166 pharmacies remaining the following earlier store closing announcement in April and June 2019. As of September 9, 2019, Fred's announced that they were seeking liquidation under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code that would close all remaining locations. Fred's was founded in 1947.
They no longer exist, huh?
As of 2019, Wikipedia uses the nice phrase of defunct. When's the last time you heard a good word like defunct? They're defunct.
It's a classy word.
Not closed, but... Oh, I kind of recognize that logo, well, the newer logo. It was a yellow, the logo in 19... Actually, the original logo was a hell of a lot cooler. The one from 47 was a lot cooler. The one from 2007 was just a yellow background with red font. Probably it was cheaper to get that sign made for all your...
Yeah, probably.
All your buildings went out of business. Last question on the topic of music. What was the... For myself, I'm going to take all the K-Rock promoted shows out because that doesn't count because I didn't pay for any of them. What was the biggest name, best stage show that you paid to see, Morgan?
Biggest name, probably. Best stage show? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah.